Well, hello there. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you here today. I am so thankful, as always, to be able to have the opportunity once or twice a month so to share God's word with you. I don't take it for granted. Just very thankful that you would think enough to come. Most importantly, I pray that you don't make this a religious ritual, that you come here to hear the word of God, that you allow the word of God to make a change in you. We come to church so that we can fellowship. God will tell us to do that. We come to church to get our tweaking, to get our tune up, so that we can continue to do what he would have us to do for the remainder of the week. So don't come here just to check off a box and say you did your religious thing, okay? All right, let's roll with this. Again, thankful that you're here. Any first-timers here today? Oh, welcome. Hey. See, y'all doing a little something out there. All right, good. And those that are at home, thankful again that you're tuning in. And, you know, we have these sermons. We have our own YouTube channel. So the sermons are always readily and available. And if it is your first time or if you're just tuning in for the first time, you know, we've been on the book of Daniel, title being Unshakable. And this is our eighth week on it. We've got one more week to go. But it has been such an interesting series for us to get into. Daniel, I'm on Daniel chapter 9 today, and I titled this sermon, Daniel's Prayer and God Promises. This is a very meaty chapter, very heavy chapter, lots of prophecy, lots of things that go into this chapter that I'm going to delve into a little bit. And I struggled this week in dealing with this chapter with what direction God would have me to go in here. But I pray that you would just ride along with me. I am sure that he's given me what he wants me to give to you today. I don't want anybody to be offended by anything that I say. But I try to make sure that if you are offended, it is not an offense that Chris Freeman did, but that you're convicted by the word of God. Because I try to rely on this to give you. So if you got a problem with what we say today, you got a problem with this, and you're going to have to deal with him on that. All right? So as we have gone back and forth through the book, and gone through how this book is broken down. Basically, the first six chapters are dealing with history, the perspective of the prophet Daniel as he has been taken into captivity, his people, Jerusalem, taken into captivity because of disobedience, and how he has grown up actually in captivity for all of his life. The second part of Daniel generally reveals with biblical prophecy. So as we have talked about over the last few weeks, there are going to be some things that sound a little strange, some things that theologians have debated and argued with over time, some things that are really hard and difficult for understand. But again, we rely on the Spirit of God to give us his understanding, and biblical prophecy in itself is so very important. As I was led to get into this subject of prayer, and like I said, was really going back and forth all over the place with how I needed to present this, and you know, really myself prayed about this, because I think one of the most difficult things in this book is that this thing that I came up with to give you today was very convicting to me. It revealed to me, as the mirror of the word of God will do for us if we look into it, a lot of imperfections and flaws and things that I needed to improve upon myself. So please understand, as I often say, I preach to myself first, and then I work through that and give to you what God has given to me. And this is what he wanted me to line up for you today and what I took away from reading this chapter 9 prayer and reading this whole chapter. I threw some letters here to help us remember this, and I got this little lesson in your bulletin just as a reminder of what I got out of this as far as how God wants us to look at prayer in our prayer life. We will look at this prayer. We're actually going to read it together in a few minutes, but we're going to look at this prayer, and we will understand that Daniel reflects during this prayer. He recognizes, he repents, he remembers, and he receives. And when I dug into this, and I'm going to really deconstruct this 1 through 19, 1 through 20 in this chapter, but it sort of parallel the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to get into that a little bit, but I was just thinking, and as you know, we rotate preachers here. Week before last, Linwood gave to us a topic of future focus, and last week, Josh talked to us about having a divine perspective, and I really rely on these young guys who have studied and given their lives and dedicated their lives to the gospel and to the ministry. And you know, I happened to be walking through the hallway, and you know, I don't eavesdrop, but I heard a conversation between Josh and Linwood. You know, they're biblical scholars, and you know, got a whole lot of knowledge. Josh writes most of this material up, so. You know, they were talking about who knew the most. And Josh was like, well, you know, I write all of Wildwood's materials. I publish these books and things. I do these Wednesday night lessons. You know, I think I got an edge on you. Well, Linwood's like, well, look, I did my education in Scotland. You know, I obviously take this seriously. I know a lot about the Bible, too. So Josh was like, well, you know, I think I know a little bit more than you. And Linwood was like, well, no. Nah. So it turns out Josh said, well, I'm going to challenge you. He said, I'm going to bet you $10 that you don't know how to recite the Lord's Prayer. So Linwood comes back. He says, you know what? You know, I just got married. I need all the money I can get. So I'm going to take you up on that bet. So Josh says, all right, do it. Recite the Lord's Prayer. So Linwood says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. So Josh just sits back and he's, oh man, I tell you what. Jillian was walking out of my sermon, he's offended. But Josh laughs at him, he says, man, you know what? You really surprised me. I didn't think you knew it, but you do knew it, so here's the $10. So, you all know that I'm really kidding, but these guys, I lean a lot on them for their biblical knowledge. But I said all that to say this. What is, that's me, isn't it? You got to take my mic off again?
No.
Okay. When we look at a situation, when we look at what is considered to be the Lord's Prayer, get me straight.
Where's that? It's right.
That's the problem with all this technology. I don't want to get electrocuted now. Lord's Prayer. This is a pattern that Jesus gave his disciples that tells us, ready to go? Tells us, thank you, sir. Okay. You want to look at it again? You want me to leave it alone? This is a pattern that God gives us to learn how to pray. And the thing about it is I found that in studying Daniel's chapter 9 prayer, there is a certain pattern that he follows as well. So what I'm going to do, this is a little bit different, is, and this might take a minute, but I want you all to bear with me because I'm really going somewhere. In your seats, you have ESV Bible. I'm going to ask you to grab it if it's convenient for you so that for the sake of consistency, we can read together. Page 699 is where Daniel's prayer starts. And I would like for the congregation at this point to stand. And we're going to stand and we're going to read this prayer together, please. Ready? In the first year of Darius, let's read it out loud. The son of Hazares, by descent of Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the numbers of years that, according to the word of God to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong, enacted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. And the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. Under the whole heaven, there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all those around us. Now, therefore, O God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O God, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by my name. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you for this time you've given us. I thank you for your word. I ask, Lord, that you allow our hearts and minds to be open to your spirit, and most importantly, for your spirit to move in us in a way that would allow us to change our habits, to bend, not break, but to bend in your direction. And by doing that, Lord, further impact your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, what we're going to do, as I said, is we're going to deconstruct these verses that we read in order to get a better understanding and clarity of how this actually parallels what is considered to be the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back to this first verse and second verse in Daniel and look at it again. The first year of Darius, the son of Asarius, by his descent Amed, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 7 years. So to break this down in layman's terms, what is happening? We have to take a snapshot of where Daniel is in this. And I said the book of Daniel can be very meaty. It can be somewhat confusing because actually from a chronological standpoint, the chapters in Daniel are not in chronological order. But when we look at this, a lot of times we really don't realize where Daniel is in his life. But we have a good historical perspective of this because what he is saying here, it's 70 years, according to the prophet Jeremiah, has told them that Jerusalem is going to be liberated, that they're going to be freed. So, what does this have to do with Daniel? If we look at Daniel's life, we understand and we know specifically the years that he was taken into captivity. Daniel was taken into captivity in 605 BC. So, he's around the age of 15, all right? So if we look at a situation of 70 years, what we do is we come to understand that actually Daniel, when he is praying his prayer, he's a pretty old man. He's in his mid-80s, 90s, and something, and he's looking back, and he is understanding that, okay, 70 years is almost here. Something good is getting ready to happen because God made this promise. And what I want you to understand is because he understands that it's been 70 years and he's reading the scripture, something happens to Daniel that's a little bit different than what we would the way we would react. Let me give you an example. If you knew God promised that something was going to happen in the year 2024. When you start getting excited about that, you knew that God, you know, my change is going to come in 2024. Same thing is happening to Daniel here. He's saying, okay, it's about 70 years. Something good is going to come up. Thank you, sir. Now I got to figure out how to get this thing on again. Are we good? We good? Thank you. So something good is getting ready to happen, but Daniel reacts in a way that would be a little bit different than the way that I react. We understand that as Daniel read this scripture, he then moves into prayer and repentance. But the thing that was so impressive is that his prayer started because he was reflecting on Scripture. Daniel was actually literally having his morning devotions. Daniel did not have the distractions of TikTok or Instagram or his computer or the telephone or cell phone ringing. He didn't have the daily bread. He didn't have the devotional book that our small group is reading. He had what? The unadulterated scripture word of God. He reflected on script. Yeah, he had a scroll. He reflected on scripture. He reflected on what he had learned as a boy. And one of the reasons that we title this series Unshakable is that we find that Daniel is consistent. From the time he was taken captive as a teenager until his old age, he is consistent in knowing where his help comes from. His help comes from God. So as he is reflecting on the scripture, the parallel comes to this. When you pray, do you reflect on the scripture? Do you reflect on what thus saith the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you something. 80 or 90% of the stuff we pray about, God has given us this answer already here. I'm going to get into it a little bit more, but this was very convicting to me. There's no need to talk or pray to God about something that is contradictory to what he says in his word. You're just wasting time. So the important thing is to know this word. By the way, if you are here and if you need a Bible, please, the church provides these for you. Don't take it just to take it. But if you need a Bible, please take this with you. We want you to walk out of here with the word of God and to study it and follow it. But as I get into this, this is the scripture that Daniel was reading, Jeremiah 29, 10, 11. We talked about this. For thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You heard this scripture before, haven't you? Sometimes we pull this scripture out of context. So I'm going to put it back into context for you. Because a lot of times when we go through trouble and rough spots and stuff like that, we'll pull the scripture out. God says, I know the plans for you, you know, to prosper you and not, for, and, you know. This was meant for actually the people in this context of Jerusalem. They were meant for God's people. Now, I don't want to throw you off kilter here. But what I want to do is help you understand that Daniel did understand what the scripture said and what it meant to him. When he realized the 70 years was coming and something was getting ready to happen, the next thing he did is he recognized who God was. He recognized who God was. Let's look at Daniel 9, 3, 4. Now, I did this the first service. Y'all read this, but y'all glossed over it because we got to get over this because what Chris said. I'm going to break this down so that you can get the details of what some of this stuff was talking about here. He said, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. I said that this actually is paralleling the model prayer, the Lord's prayer. Because the first thing that prayer tells us is recognizing who God is, our Father, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed would be thy name. Recognizing who God is, not saying, God, I need a job. God, I need a new car. God, I need some more money. God, you are God. Let's put things in order. Let's put things in place. This ain't about me. This prayer is about you. And Daniel understood the order in which he needed to come to God when he prayed. It is funny that he knew that an answer was going to come to his prayer, yet and still, he came to God in a posture of humility. And not only that, even though he knew something good was getting ready to happen, what did he do next? He repented. Daniel confessed and repented for his sin, and not only that, the sin of his and his people. Daniel 9, 5, 7, we read this. Pick up on this. He says in that prayer, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the lands. Unusual situation. Different from the way that we typically pray. I know a lot of times when I go to God, it's like, God, I need this. I need that. God, me. It is so important that we understand our standing in who God is and understand how we need to approach Him. And actually, when we parallel it to the Lord's Prayer, what are the first two words that we say in the Lord's Prayer, what's considered the model prayer? Our Father. Our Father. We often forget our Father. It's not, now I come to God a lot of times and say, my God, you know, God, you're my help, you know, it's okay, He's my daddy. But do we exclude everybody else? We see here Daniel included everybody, and he is praying for the sins of his fathers and the sins of his people, because what had happened is Jerusalem had gotten themselves into a bad fix because, as we read through the scripture, they had been disobedient to what the prophets had told them, disobedient to what the scripture had told them, and they found themselves in this situation. And what I got to thinking was, how often are our prayers based on our fathers and the sins of our fathers and the history that has gotten us into where we are right now? I'm thinking, as I look at the news and I see the television and stuff, of the state that America is in right now. And I don't often think that some of the reason that we're sitting in the position that we're in is because of the mistakes that our fathers and forefathers made. Because this is what Daniel is saying. But not only so much as that, as far as history, because we tend not to try to take blame for those things that happened before us. But what's happening now? What are the mistakes that we're making now? How are we holding up to the scripture and what God is saying? How, as a church, are we making any changes to society? Yeah, we complain about society. We complain about stuff and situations and things like that. What are we doing to make a change? Are we changing society, or is society changing us? Find that as a church, unfortunately, a lot of times the tail wags the dog, because as soon as culture goes in one direction or the other, the church tries to follow that too. We try to do some things a little bit differently so that more people will like us, that we'll be more user-friendly to these people or that people. And then we find that that is a situation when we separate ourselves, because we get these holier-than-thou attitudes because we don't want to be associated with them. But we remember this prayer says, our Father. Does that not include them? Because I'm going to tell you something. I apologize to first service. I didn't apologize to y'all. I might say some things that might be a little bit offensive, but again, I'm coming from the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven isn't specifically going to look like this church where it's 70, 80, 90% white, evangelical, non-denominational. Heaven is going to have people of every tribe, creed, culture, background, because the gospel isn't exclusive. The gospel is inclusive. And that's what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ different from any other religion that there is out there. When you dig into what it is that we're dealing with and what you say you believe in, you're going to be surprised at some people you see up in heaven. Yeah, there are going to be some Democrats in heaven. There are going to be some Republicans in heaven. There are going to be some people that have a gender confusion in heaven. There are going to be people that have molested children in heaven, that have murdered. There are going to be some people like that in heaven, because my Bible tells me that in the gospel it says, such were some of us. And some of the things that I named and mentioned, as bad as they may seem, include some of us. But when we look at our unifying point, which is the cross of Jesus Christ, and we all walk through that, guess what? He's all our Father. That change is made. Yes, brother. That change is made in us, and we need to be thankful for that. This next R, a little bit what I'm talking about. God, Daniel remembered God's promises. When he went back into Jeremiah and he remembered what the prophet had taught him, this is the verse that gave him hope. Jeremiah 29, 13, 14, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations, because the people of Jerusalem have been scattered. And all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." So Daniel was getting real excited here, but also in his humility, he's praying, he's saying, "Lord, thy kingdom come." Sound familiar? Lord, you promised this, let's make it happen. This is how this is relative to us when we pray that model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The kingdom focus. Josh talked about last week having a Jesus perspective, having a gospel perspective, a mindset. Too often when we pray, we don't have a kingdom perspective. This next R, Daniel received his answer. There used to be a saying that people would say in church. He says, I want to be around people that can get a prayer through. Anybody ever heard of that? Getting a prayer through? That means they reject some people they don't think can get a prayer through. You know, we don't take prayer seriously. Sometimes this is a religious thing. And when I mention the Lord's Prayer, pretty much most people know what is considered to be the Lord's Prayer, but it is the most misused, misrepresented, misunderstood prayer I think that there is. One, most people, quite frankly, only know two prayers, "Lord, I lay me down to sleep," and "Our Father, which art in heaven." And when they repeat that at the football games or the baseball games or whatever the case may be, or somebody needs to do something religious and let's pray, and somebody will say "Our Father" because that's the only thing they got to go to. It's like using a disposable camera. I'm going to take a picture and, you know, I'm going to throw it away. It is not well thought out. It is something useful and it says I'm religious, but we need to take prayer much more seriously. I say this, and I'll get in trouble. I always say stuff, I get in trouble. I actually have a prayer with what we have here, a problem with what we have here. Look at this. We got prayer turned sideways, tucked over here in the corner. If you're new here, you probably don't even see this thing. Without fail, every time I preach, I call the prayer team up front and I ask people if they're ready to come down, if they need prayer, or if they, most importantly, are ready to make a decision for Christ and we want to pray with them. Because another thing that happens is if God is convicting you, all of this prayer stuff I'm talking about, if you're really not a child of God, God's just a good luck charm to you. He's not a loving Father that is going to work for you and answer your prayer. He will hear the prayer that you pray to him when you're ready to come to him, because he's always ready. And let me tell you something, if you don't know him today, don't leave here, because we can make that happen for you right now, and the water's warm and the water's always ready. People are making that decision, and we can do it publicly or we can do it privately. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Come talk to me after, or come to one of the prayer people and answer. We're ready to work with you at any time. I'm not talking about joining Wildwood. I'm talking about joining the body of Christ, the Universal Church. We'll work on Wildwood later, because this is a good place to be. But Daniel received his answer. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. I'm getting off a little bit. He received his answer. If anybody could get a prayer through, Daniel get a prayer through. Daniel was one of the few people, if you read about the characters in the Bible and big names in the Bible, one of the few people that the Bible has nothing really bad to say about Daniel. A lot of other people that were in the Bible that are considered to be heroes and prophets and things like that, they had jacked up lives. Daniel was straight. He was unshakable in his faith, which is why we named this series Unshakable. But he received his answer to the point that if you keep reading past 20, and we'll look at this, he's on his knees, he's still praying, and he's still confessing, and he's still repenting. And the angel Gabriel walks up behind him and taps him on the shoulder. Talk about getting a prayer through. Can you imagine being at home in your prayer closet or at your bed? Some of y'all ain't got no prayer closet, but anyway, being at home, you know, or on your bed or whatever, and you're praying to God, and an angel walk up behind you and tap you on the shoulder and say, I got an answer for you? Oh, my God, what a connection would you have to God? But let me tell you something. It is possible. I'm not saying pray for that, but I am saying this. If you listen for God's answer, he will give it to you. How many times has anybody in here actually been praying and God gave them that answer while they were praying? Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Y'all are better. Last service I ain't had but three people. But yeah, he will come swiftly and he will answer your prayer. But let me tell you something I stole from a friend of mine. I stole this meme. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. Isn't that our situation, unfortunately, a lot of times? We're praying for something. We already know what we want God to say. And God is saying very loudly, no, no, no. And we're saying, well, God, I'm going to do it this way. Because we're making so much noise and we're so distracted. We're really not listening. And we're, you know, he's saying no. He's saying, wait, let me tell you something. He will answer. He will answer. But he answers in his own way for our benefit and in his own time. I was so impressed. You know, Eli is here. They brought the kids back yesterday on the bus from Tennessee when they went to the mission, to the trip. Yeah, clap. We do a lot of great stuff in ministry here, but the most impressive thing was after they took that long trip, emptied all these kids off on this bus, guess what? One of the kids said, you know what? I'm ready to get baptized. Kids came walking right up in here after the bus trip, got right in that water, and the young man made a confession of faith right here in front of his peers. But even more impressive than that was what Eli said to the young man. He said, I've been praying for you for a year. I've been praying for you for a year. So those things that you are praying for, don't give up on them. God's got an answer, and the timing is perfect because that year might have taken place for him to get baptized for the instant that somebody else yesterday that wouldn't have been there was watching and said, you know what, it's time for me to make that decision too. We don't need to try to figure out God because he's got this thing already laid out. What we need to do is be obedient to him. This is what's happening here. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my plea before the Lord God, the holy hill of my God. We didn't read this part. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. And this is what Gabriel tells him. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. I struggle with this sermon because this is a part that's very controversial to theologians in Scripture. You may or may not have heard of this, but this is called Daniel's 77s. And what happens in this Scripture is Gabriel is actually explaining to him that the 70 years you're thinking about are not the 70 years that God has planned, because God is actually talking about 70 times 7, which is actually a span of 490 years. And Daniel's sitting here scratching his head confused, just like some of you are, because you got to be a mathematician. I can't count past the 10 fingers on my hand. But anyway, I'm going to break this down in a chart that helps you understand a little bit about what God's talking about. But I thought it important to give this to you because it is so, such a strong and one of the most important prophecies that is in the Bible. This chart sort of depicts what we're talking about as far as the 77s are concerned. If this 490 years is important for us to know what the deal is it important for us to know when it begins? Do we have an idea when the 490 years begin? Yes, we do, because historically it says that it's going to be the decree that is made to rebuild Jerusalem. And we have an approximate date of when that actually happened, around 457 B.C. So if we take the start of the 77s at 457 B.C. and we stretch it out, and this is a very simplified version of this, guys. Don't get into it a lot. If we stretch it out 490 years, where do we land? We land right at Jesus Christ. This is not an accident. Could Daniel have understood what was being talked about back? Not really. And we still debate exactly the end of the beginning of the 416, the 489, the 490 years. But what we do know is this. Gabriel laid this prophecy out. I had a debate with one of my friends. I don't debate them, but they talked about the fallacy of the Bible. They talked about the Bible being in error because it was written by man. I said, the Bible was written by man, but it was inspired by God. Only God could have given a prophecy like this that was so specific before the time that Jesus came to land on the dates that Jesus was here on earth. Amen. This is not an accident. This is the word of God. How many more prophecies does the Bible have in it that tell us who Jesus was and that he was truly the Son of God? A strong prophecy that gives us validity to the seriousness of the Word of God, that it is not just a good book with some good sayings in it. This is the literal Word of God, and it is to be taken seriously. And what happens? These phrases were written: finish the transgression, put an end to sin, atone for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal both vision and prophecy, anoint a more holy place. Daniel kind of missed it because what he was looking for was the liberation of Jerusalem. But that's not what they were talking about. Daniel was getting excited because he was saying, God's going to make Jerusalem great again. That wasn't what God was talking about. He was talking about a finality to all of this, because if we read in history what happened to the people in Israel, to Jews, they never got it right. They did get liberated. They would straighten out for a little while. They would go back into sin. They would go into bondage and trouble. They'd pray to God. They'd get straightened out, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until God finally got tired of all of this, and it took all of these years, but he eventually said, you know what? Y'all ain't getting it right. I'm opening it up to everybody. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring my son, Jesus Christ, and he's going to finish the transition. He's going to put an end to sin. He is going to be your atonement. He's going to be your answer. The Son of God. This prophecy sits here in this book that was written before Jesus ever came on the scene. And somehow when Jesus showed up, they missed it. And somehow even today, we still miss it. Because we've gotten into a culture-driven church. We've gotten into a church that lets culture move us as opposed to us moving culture. So as I go back and I talk about our posture in prayer, this is a reminder that we need to reflect, as Daniel did, about Scripture. We need to reflect what the Bible says before we go to prayer and ask for something that ain't in here or that is against His Word. We need to recognize who God is first, and then we need to be repentant. Not going straight saying, God, I need this, God, I need God, I'm sorry for the way I've been. I really don't deserve another breath outside of this thing that I'm asking for. We need to remember his promises because he is going to take care of us. Even if the answer isn't what we want, he's going to take care of us. And then wait to receive. This reminded me of a song my wife used to sing, my wife and I used to sing back when we belonged to the Black Gospel Church. We don't do it so much here. But the song says, these are the words, "When I look back over my life, I can see how your love has guided me. And even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone. You forgave me and you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. Because thy compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness." Actually comes out of Jeremiah 2. But Daniel's attitude brought me to the words of that song. So I want to leave that and encourage you with this very simply. Your next steps, and I hope this makes a change in your prayer heart, because it made a change in mine, in how I look at God and when I'm asking him for stuff. Pray with a kingdom perspective. Kingdom means not us, not Christian Church in the Wildwood, the body of Christ, our perspective, our Father. He's our Father. That person that you don't like, that person that doesn't think the way you do, or they're a different political bent than you, God loves them too, just as much. Pray according to his will. What does the Word of God say about the situation I'm asking about? Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. And listen, watch, and wait for your answer. Amen? All right. Prayer team, come up front. I know I ran y'all off the altar today, but if anybody has been convicted, we still want to pray for you. We want to honor God. If anybody wants to make that change in your life, we're going to pray with you right now. The water is always ready now or whenever you want to schedule it. But please come to God. He's waiting for you. He's waiting to give you his answer. Amen? Thank you very much. Have a good Sunday.